Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys? The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It has been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good and could be good again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and the first ever 8-passenger Hyundai Palisade. Happy opening day. I mean that. It's not really opening day, but it still is, and we can make it what we want it to be. Ron Coomer, Cubs radio analyst, is going to join us at 10. We'll do the midday midway at 10:40. Jason Benetti, the White Sox television play-by-play voice, will be with us at 11. At 11:20, we are going to open the magical mystery jar. See, I didn't have any negative tone to the way I said that and promoted it, because yesterday was absolutely awesome. Yesterday was so much fun.
Last with the magical mystery jar. And you're right. This is, we're going to try and remove all of the negative tone for this opening day. Like Vin said, people will come. We remember days past. It should have been opening day today. And we're going to be thankful that we've got baseball coming at some point. I think that's where my head's been at the last week or so. So instead of, you know, like Jason Benetti's one-time partner calling a baseball game said, instead of cursing the darkness, let's light a candle and lead the way.
312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR, The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. Send a text to the text zone that is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text to 67011, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Also, download the radio.com app.
Welcome back, Tyler Bray. Isn't that the free agent signing everybody wanted? Tyler Bray is back, and everything's fine with the Bears.
Waiting for that first call to say.
It's a guy that should start. Why are they not starting Tyler Bray? He's never gotten a fair shot here.
They've kept him around for a decade. Why hadn't he gotten a start, huh? Here's what nobody's talking about.
When you download the radio.com app, you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. Also, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Jay Zawoski is our remotely positioned executive producer. Rick Camp is on the board. The executioner, Ray Diaz, is in the back doing what he does. First of all, you know, I ended the show yesterday by mentioning that with the social distancing grades using GPS tracking data, that Chicago and Cook County are doing really well. I know it was a beautiful day yesterday. stop gathering on the beaches, stop gathering in parks. You can be outside, walk your dog, take a walk, take your toddlers on a bear walk. I have seen some bears now in the, some teddy bears set up in the front windows in my neighborhood as well.
That's awesome. But
just, yeah, stop clustering. Stop clustering with people. Stop being out there and partying and pretending like everything's okay. Listen to Mayor Lightfoot. Listen to Governor Pritzker. Make sure you are keeping a reasonable social distance. Please, 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 please. But with that said, you know that I'm not... You're more still of a baseball romantic, probably, than I am.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you're not approaching like, you know, Spiegelian levels of baseball romanticism.
How could I?
I don't think one can. I think that's really sort of the epicenter of baseball romanticism. However, I find myself feeling wistful about it more today because of the circumstances. And I guess where I land on this is, it's for whatever it means to have the shared aspect of baseball, to have that communal aspect of baseball, whether it is fandom of a team, the gathering of a group together, cheering and booing and feeling happy or sad together, all of our, you know, talk about Wrigley Field being that emotional amplifier that it is, that we now don't have that for whatever these stadiums mean to us. It's our job now to find other ways to do that. I mean, talking about baseball, I think, is part of it. I think recognizing our feelings about it and discussing our feelings about sort of not having opening day, maybe remembering some opening days in the past, we need to fill that space a little bit, and we can, as we're learning in our new world here, to reach out to people and to connect with people. All that energy and all that stuff about what opening day means, can't we find the meaning in other places and try to fill in some of those empty spaces?
I hope we can. Finding those places, like identifying those spots to find that kind of feeling, is pretty tough. And I'm glad you mentioned what Mayor Lightfoot had said about gathering in places, and with the warm weather yesterday, remembering that even though you can go outside, it doesn't mean you should be in big groups of people and whatnot. On the other hand, and I felt it a little bit yesterday as I was driving around trying to get some errands done that I had to do to get my home office settled here to do the show. It was nice out, Dan. I mean, it was nice out. And it's really hard after, I think a lot of people have been cooped up for as long as they have, and it will be longer still. It was really hard to see yesterday and think things aren't back to normal and not have that pull and have that feel. And I think that's what people waking up this morning and thinking, oh, baseball should have been today, are feeling as well. There's a sense of normalcy to that sport. There's a sense of, and I felt this, you know, I don't know if this has clicked for you recently, but I covered some bad White Sox teams. And even still, I loved going to the ballpark every day. You know, I really enjoyed the everyday nature of that sport. And I remember talking with a player or two about the fact that regardless of how today's game went, tomorrow's is coming for you regardless. Doesn't matter if you played well, doesn't matter if you played poorly, if you're ready or if you're banged up a little bit, tomorrow's game is coming. And I think there's a, you know, you talk about the communal nature of baseball, this fact that every fan base, regardless of you're a Cubs fan and hate the Cardinals or a Cardinals fan and hate the Cubs, you know that tomorrow's game is coming. And in that, there's a shared sense of togetherness, I guess, knowing that baseball is every day, and not having that start today is a little tough. But I've been thinking for a lot about what it will be like when opening day comes around, when we finally, you know, in June or maybe even July, get that real opening day. I've been thinking a lot about the celebration that's going to feel like, because we're all going to deserve it, hopefully, at that point. And that's kind of kept me going for a little bit as I think about what could have been, what should have been today.
One thing that we did yesterday that was, I think, important is my son and I went out and we threw for a good 40 minutes, and hearing a ball hit a glove over and over again did some little pull down stuff, you know, working on, you know, quick exchanges, crow hopping, trying in the glove, out of the glove, trying to see how many exchanges we could get in a row.
Oh, yeah.
And that I threw enough that my arm's a little sore today. Like that good feeling of having thrown. If you can do that, if you can find a family member to make sure it's somebody, you know, wash your hands thoroughly beforehand, wash your hands thoroughly afterward, don't touch your face at any point, but there is you can still do some virtual social distancing by throwing with your kid or a sibling or somebody within your family, making sure that you do it as safely as possible. But boy, that's therapeutic. Just the sound of it is therapeutic.
Long toss is the original baseball social distancing, right? I mean, you gotta find a way to warm up and everything, but if you're throwing foul pole to foul pole like Bauer in the early 2000s, that's going to keep you playing away from the next guy to you.
Yeah, with the exception of the ball itself, exchanging the actual ball. But if you know that, if you can, you know, trusting the person that you're with, you're not doing it with strangers, you're not doing it with a large group of people. The one thing that we did notice, the poor dogs, when you're throwing a ball and the dog on the leash says, "Hey, is that mine? Could that ball be mine? I would like that ball. I would like to be a part of your game, and I would like to subscribe to your newsletter." And it's almost, you feel bad if you're tortured. And then, of course, we had this the argument that what's a better sound? Is it ball popping into glove? Is it ball cracking off the bat? Or my son argued there is no better sound than a golf ball finding the bottom of the cup.
It's a good sound.
He said that's better than any of them.
So I, a lot of people don't get the chance, but my favorite sport sound is the runner up is ball through a chain net on a backyard hoop or something like that. That's my runner up. But my favorite sound is you walk the backfields in spring training, and you know there's the row of pitching mounds that are out there. And you'll have 4, 5, 6, 7 guys all working at the same time to different catchers. And what you get there is a cavalcade, just like consecutive ball mitt, ball mitt, ball mitt, ball mitt. All of them at like big time velocities. And that number of sounds, that number of that sound is like it's starting now. You know what I mean? Like it's announcing that we're doing this. And all of these sounds are all together going to begin your baseball season. That is my favorite sports sound in the world.
Yeah, that's even in the middle of winter, when you walk into a baseball facility, whether there's two near me here in Chicago, there's Bash Academy and there's Bradley Sports Center. Mm. And when you go in there and it's all the multiple cages and you just hear like kids and there's one cage that's got, you know, an individual hitting clinic going on or there's a high school team there. Just the sheer volume of baseball sound is just good for the soul. You know, it really is. There's something there that just feels right. I agree with you about the opening day is kind of weird traditionally because there's all this excitement. There's all of this, like, yeah, let's go, let's do it. And then the settling in, right?
Yep.
It's like, okay, now that it's begun, you kind of chill out. And the next day, the park's got a third of the people there. It's like the start when they announce somebody teeing off at a golf tournament. It's, you know, from Florida, Tiger Woods. And then he, you know, tees off. And then it's like, okay, deep breath, settle in. Like you say, tomorrow is always coming for you. Do you get also for those of us that worked in minor league baseball and major league baseball and getting to parks super early?
Oh,
the feeling of a park coming to life.
Yeah, it's the moment the onions hit the grill at Guaranteed Rate Field, everything steps up a notch. Like if you're there early, working in on a pregame show or you're going down to the clubhouse or something like that, things are quiet. You get your baseball sounds, you know, guys are throwing and you'll hear chatter and guys working in the cage and stuff. But at some point in that morning before a day game, the onions hit the grill somewhere in the concourse and everybody notices it right at about the same time. I don't know what it is. I don't know how much time it takes the onions on grill to get that smell going. But once that hits, everybody goes, okay, we just went from 4 to 7. on the readiness for baseball scale. We just jumped a whole bunch of points and things are ready to go. It's all those different kind of senses that come alive at a ballpark as you get ready for a game. And you really don't notice after you've been there for a couple of days straight, or maybe like a week of covering the same team or something, you really kind of forget to notice it. Then you have a couple of days off, you come back and you do that next kind of day game, and it all starts over again. It's that rhythmic nature of a season that I think makes people, or helps people, kind of come together about the game.
It's a multi-sensory experience, and it's been changed over the years, obviously at the big league level, because games have gotten so loud. Maybe it's just my old age, but I like Wilco as much as the next guy, but some of these some of these ballpark sound systems are so high quality and the speakers are so loud that to me it's about balancing everything. Like, there's a time and a place, and I don't need old timey organ music either. It's just I guess I'm hypersensitive to sort of getting it right between the visual, the swath of the green grass, the smell of the onions, but being able to hear natural sounds as well as what's piped in, it's got to get right in that sweet spot for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've been to a game at Dodger Stadium, but it's the loudest, right? I mean, they just have these massive speakers everywhere throughout the ballpark, and the noise, the music that gets pumped in is so loud. And I always thought Dodger Stadium was such a juxtaposition of two different things, that loud, you know, rock music and everybody's walk up and stuff. And then, you know, for years, obviously, it was the guy you heard at the opening of the show. It was Vin by himself doing games. So on the one hand, at Dodger Stadium, it's the loudest place you can be to watch a baseball game. But if you're watching it at home, it's Vin spinning a yarn, making his own pace out of the thing, and it's rare where you get a game that has two presentations that are so starkly different than the other. You know, being there is one experience, and watching the broadcast is another one, and the pace and volume of it are so strikingly different.
That's it. I have not been to a game. I've been to Dodger Town in Vero Beach for spring training, but I've not been to a game at Chavez Ravine. But I hadn't really quite thought of it that way. And there's a lot of people who would be experiencing both at the same time, right? There's people who were listening to the Vin Scully broadcast while sitting at the game. So it's weird that you would get those almost conflicting presentations.
Yeah, it's really strange. And obviously, you know, Vin's not doing games anymore, but we just heard him with earlier in the week talking with Bill Plaschy about what the beginning of the season is going to feel like, what it's hopefully going to feel like. I like hearing his voice as much as possible as we kind of wait for this season. You know, there is some news when it comes to baseball. You and I were talking a little bit in the pre-show meeting phone call about the piece Joel Sherman penned as we get closer, hopefully, to an agreement between Major League Baseball and the Players Association. There are a couple of things, T's crossed and lowercase J's dotted, that need to happen before we get a starting point for Major League Baseball. And on the one hand, I'm glad to hear that the Players Association and the league are coming to agreements on things. I do worry a little bit about what's left to do in terms of some of the bookkeeping before we start a season. But I think we ought to get into some of the bigger news around baseball as we kind of celebrate opening day this morning, too.
We will get to that, and we will also give you a way to actually have an opening day, and it's tonight on The Score, and it's something special that we're doing. We're going to tell you all about it next. Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's a bigger letdown than being a Mets fan.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
This segment's brought to you by Denny's. Denny's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Order your favorites from Denny's at Denny's.com. Pick it up or have your Denny's favorites delivered right to your door with free delivery. You're hungry. Denny's delivers for free. Order now at Denny's.com. Too bad Tex Winter isn't alive to enjoy it at this point. So tonight, there's something really cool going on these airwaves. It is 670 The Score's replay of the Mark Burley Perfect Game. Joe Ostrowski and Chris Tannehill are going to host a live pregame show, and then they're going to take calls. They're going to do an actual White Sox postgame show once the final out is recorded. So it's one of these things where you get the dramatic irony of knowing the outcome, but you know that the broadcasters, as they get into the game, you start to feel the energy build a little bit. Like, you already know it's a perfecto, but as it goes on and understanding what happens, I mean, certainly we all know the catch and Dwayne Wise, the end and everything that happens, but there's that sense where you get to listen in knowing what we know now, and it sounds like a really fun experience, especially with the live stuff before and after.
I can't wait to listen, and you couldn't pick two better guys to go and take you through that game than Joe and Tanny. I was watching NBC Sports Chicago, which was then Comcast Sportsnet, put out on, I think it was both Twitter and Instagram, each and every out from Burley's perfect game not all that long ago, a couple of days ago. And I kind of forgot how fun it is to watch a game like that, whether it's Burley's perfect game or Kerry Wood's no-hitter. And if you watch all the outs in consecutive order like that and kind of quickly, you feel that build happen from, you know, either Hawk or Chip and Stone. And it all kind of happens so fast, but feeling that build occur is awesome. And watching that game, you kind of see, and the constant here is Steve Stone on both of those broadcasts, right? And you kind of see when it gets to 15 outs in a row, when it gets to 18 outs in a row, that these guys understand that something kind of magic is happening. I think right. I told the story before. My brother, huge Cubs fan, and his favorite game of all time is it's the Kerry Wood 20 strike. Well, it's probably surpassed by Game 7 of the World Series now, but it, you know, Kerry Wood.
Yeah, you mentioned no hitter before. So before the you called it a no hitter. It was not a no hitter. It was the 20 strikeout game before the Texters clobbered
it. Well, it should have been a no hitter. I think that's an error by Ori over at third. But either way, it's the 20 strikeout game. You're right. So you've got this game, and I managed to con somebody into getting me the broadcast tape of Kerry Wood's 20 strikeout game, because MLB had taken it off the website because MLB doesn't know that they're operating in 2019 or 2020, as it were. They think it's still 1995. So I got him the game, and you, even on that DVD, you get the sound of Chip and Stone in commercial breaks
talking
off mic back and forth. And like in the second after Woods set down his first two sides, you hear Stone say to Chip, I think this kid's got it today. Nobody's going to hit him. And it's just, it's so cool to hear that kind of stuff over again when you know what the outcome of a game is going to be. I can't wait for the score to put Burley's perfect game on tonight at 6 o'clock. I'm going to be listening the whole way through because that build is one of my favorite parts of baseball. You never know which game you're going to get something like that. And Burley's was fantastic. You know, he got shelled in his in two outings before his perfecto against the Rays. The Twins beat him up for like 8 runs in 3 1/3. And then he came back with a pretty good start the next time out and then threw his perfect game against the Rays.
And the difference with Burley is you don't see stuff. You know, he doesn't come out there, and there's no way you could have gone to break in that game and anybody said, oh yeah, this is looking like one of these days where he's got it, no one's going to touch him. Because it's just so improbable because he spent so much time pitching to contact. You know, guys like Kerry Wood, they used to say that about Kevin Brown. I remember, I think it was Mark Grace that said that about peak Kevin Brown. He said every game he started after the first inning looked like he could throw a no-hitter. When he was throwing that power sinker, those stuff guys, you can see it in him sometimes. You can hear it popping. Or the catcher will come back, and the catcher will say something like, dude, this is he's got it today. And remember, Kerry Wood told us at one point his bullpen was awful. Remember?
That's right.
He said he felt terrible and nothing was working, and he just got out to the game mound, and it was the opposite of what happens sometimes, where it just clicked. Once sometimes guys have a sensational bullpen and then they get out to the game mound, it's just terrible. That's what Kyle Hendricks is talking about when he said we were trying to figure out why the home road splits were so bad, that it's important for them to visualize what that looks like. Anyway, you mentioned that we may be close to an agreement between players and the union on how they're going to handle this year. This is Joel Sherman in the New York Post, and he writes, the MLB commissioner's office made a key concession yesterday in its latest counterproposal to the union, offering players service time commensurate to what they received last year if no MLB games are played this year due to the coronavirus pandemic. And this is a Post-exclusive New York Post. Initially, MLB was insistent that without games, and thus without revenue, it would not give service time to players, but it relented because, one, MLB believes it's bad luck to be publicly squabbling over dollars with the country in such financial upheaval. Two, it's hopeful the doomsday scenario of no games doesn't play out. And three, if no games are played, it might not be as advantageous to be a free agent or ARB eligible next offseason with teams facing greater financial issues. So they're anticipating a response from the union and the finalization of a deal today. So I think this makes a whole lot of sense and is probably not going to be an issue if there are going to be games.
I think that's true. I think this is the right way to do it when it comes to the overall level playing field for both teams and players. But it does come with a couple of potential hiccups. I mean, check this out. So based on what Joel Sherman's reporting, players are going to get credit for service time last season, which means even if you don't play, God forbid, if you don't play any baseball games this year, that means Mookie Betts is a free agent after the season, which means that the Dodgers made that trade to get 0 baseball games out of Mookie Betts, and they'll have to give him up as a free agent if we don't play baseball games. Think about what that would do to just the whole landscape of that trade, of the Dodgers' quest to go win a World Series after being so good for so long and getting booted out of playoff and playoff and playoff run. If they've traded for Mookie Betts and don't get any games out of him, it'd be incredible.
Yeah, if you think about the bad luck teams, that it's possible that they were Astros cheated out of their best shot. I mean, think about the ramifications of getting back to the cheating scandal. And by the way, apparently the Boston report is finished, is ready to go. They're just not, there's no reason to put the hammer down on them right now. But Rob Manfred, he said that it's complete and ready, and we're kind of waiting on it, I guess.
You know,
I want to grab a phone call here. We mentioned if you have an opportunity to call in or a compulsion, a desire to connect, to call in, to just be a part of what we're doing, please do. Please don't be bashful. We are here for you taking phone calls. We always do at 312-644-6767. In Evergreen Park, this is Anthony on the Score.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Wonderful.
Okay.
That's great. Yeah, I love your show. I just want to say I want to give a shout out to the engineers at Prudential Plaza. That's where I work. I'm an assistant. I'm a trainee engineer there, so I see you guys often. You guys are terrific, and I know you guys are working hard. They're working hard too. So, I just wanted to quickly drop in and say I went to Burley's Perfect Game. I was fortunate enough. I was 12 rows back. I went with one of your former colleagues, Craig Miller, and then a couple years later. Me and my friends had planned a West Coast trip, and everyone bailed except for another friend of mine, and we went to Seattle on our own. And it was an early season game, like it would be maybe April 21st, I think, of that year, and got to see Umber's perfect game. I was on the third baseline, so I got to go to both perfect games.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I mean.
Yeah.
That's a resume.
One, man, because of your very own Craig Miller.
Craig's a good man and doing good work, that's for sure. That's tough to believe. That's insane. I mean, to get both of those games under the belt and have them on the resume?
I mean, you know how many people spend their entire baseball lives not able to say that they saw a no-hitter, let alone a perfect game, let alone two perfect games?
I haven't seen one. I haven't seen one. I know you have. You called Glendon Rush's no-hitter. I have not seen one, and the closest I've been is as close as a lot of guys who haven't seen one in this town who cover the game. I don't know if you'll remember, it was a Cubs-White Sox game with Ted Lilly and Gavin Floyd on the mound. The Blackhawks had just won a Stanley Cup and brought the cup to Wrigley Field, and they did the whole, you know, there's the photo of all three teams, the Blackhawks, the White Sox, the Cubs, all there on Wrigley Field. From left to right, everybody's got a whole team photo out there, and I'm gonna forget the specifics, but they both took no hitters, Lillian and Gavin Floyd, into the seventh, and every member of the media had been taking turns, because this was the first cup, had been taking turns running into one of the broadcast booths where the Stanley Cup was and getting their photo taken. And I remember everybody getting back and sitting down right around the, you know, fifth or sixth or something, and everybody's looking up at the scoreboard going, Oh God, do they both have no hitters working right now? And all the beat writers start to furiously type and get stuff sent, and phone calls get made, and I'm on the phone with Mitch, and you know, we had the White Sox at the time, and it's, you're going down on the field, you've got Floyd on the phone as soon as it's over. That's as close as I've ever gotten to watching a no hitter.
Yeah, the fact that it was going both sides too, and the unlikelihood, people forget that Gavin Floyd, when he was on this planet instead of wherever his home planet is, when he was here with us, he could be really, really good.
Oh, yeah. No, he was another one of those guys where, you know, not quite to the degree of Kevin Brown or anything, but he's one of those guys where, you know, Don Cooper would tell you, or coaches and scouts around the league would tell you, he has the stuff to go throw a no-hitter more days than not. He's got that kind of stuff. But like you say, Gavin's feet might have been on the mound at U.S. Cellular Field then, but I don't know that the rest of his body was on the planet with him. It was tough to harness all the things together for him.
I want to clean up a couple of the details here also in the New York Post story about this deal that Joel Sherman had all this exclusive information about what MLB and the Players Association are trying to hammer out today. So the other key elements are that the union must accept prorated salaries in a season of fewer than 162 games and agree not to sue for full salaries if a season's not played. And they said once a national emergency was declared on March 13th, it became within Rob Manfred's power via Article 11 of the Uniform Player Contract to suspend all contracts during a national emergency. But with the collective bargaining agreement expiring after 2021, Manfred has not wanted to further incite the relationship with players. So this is, and they get into some of the numbers here. A player needed 172 active days to count as a full season. So if the season were 125 days, a player would get the full service if he's active all 125 days. And there's a lot more information about how this is all going to happen if the season continues to get moved. But I guess my takeaway from this is, it's good news that there is this level of cooperation in general between the two sides, and maybe under the financial stress that this is going to create for teams, maybe it brings the negotiating sides together and means a lower chance of there being a work stoppage of some kind.
I hope that's the case. I also hope that because these agreements at least have been hammered out to the degree that they have so far about playing time, about contract status, I hope that also means that if we get to a point where it no longer becomes feasible or logical to play a quote-unquote baseball season, even if it is shortened, like, 80-something games or 60-something games, that both sides are more willing, because of the goodwill that they've laid out here, both sides are more willing to come up with a outside-the-box solution to playing baseball, but not having a regular season and then a playoffs as you might normally think of it. That they're more open to coming up with something different in order to get games played. And hopefully, if it's that means revenues to TV contracts or revenues to owners who want to open the turnstiles a couple of times, so be it. But I hope that means that baseball fans will get their game played, even if it is in a format that's a little alien, that's got to be different because of a time restraint and obviously weather issues that are going to pop up the later on through the summer we go.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. Bernstein and McKnight, we are live and local between 9 and noon here on Sports Radio 670. The Score. We mentioned it's opening day today. You are going to get our special Mark Burley Perfecto presentation on The Score at 6, and that's got all sorts of cool bells and whistles as a part of it. It's going to be a Joe Ostrowski, Chris Tannehill live pregame show. They're taking calls as part of a White Sox postgame show once the final out is recorded. So, fry up some onions in a pan in your house. Get that smell going. Get some dogs or brats or whatever you might want to do, and let yourself have a little bit of baseball. It's okay to do it. So we are having our version of opening day today. Ron Coomer is going to join us at 10. Jason Benetti is going to join us at 11. So we'll get some Cubs and some Sox perspective. 11:20, we're going to open the magical mystery jar. Coming up next, a great Steve Stone story. He was on talking about, and a wonderful storyteller in his own right, but he had a story about a run-in that Harry Carey had where only the celebrity of Harry Carey could have meant what it meant in a certain situation. We're going to get to that. That's coming up next. Bernstein and McKnight, keep it here on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Copy!
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Nebraska and Maryland this fall at Ryan Field. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. So Steve Stone, a frequent contributor on these airwaves, always wonderful when he is spinning baseball yarns. And look, the guy wrote a whole book regarding his relationship with Harry Carey and how intertwined their celebrity was. So I'm just going to let Stoney take it away and make this part of our opening day, his story about an interesting run-in that his former broadcast partner once had.
When Harry was with the St. Louis Cardinals, he had a certain place he used to go to all the time at night, and it didn't really matter. There was five or six places in St. Louis that he would go to and really enjoy it. But he would always wind up late in the evening at the Chase Park Plaza. And if you guys ever spend any time down there, it's this old, very nice hotel. It had great cheesecake, a nice bar. And Harry would stay there till, right around they were getting ready to close up around 4 o'clock in the morning. This was every night. And this one night he goes out, he'd stumble to his car because that's where he would finish up his drinking. He would certainly drink all night and then finish up his drinking at the Chase Park Plaza. So it's 4 o'clock, he stumbles out to his car, and the car doesn't start. So he goes back inside, mentions to whoever was still there, perhaps cleaning up, that he needs to make a call. And he calls up AAA. Probably should have called up AA, but he called up AAA. And he goes back out to his car, stumbling back out to his car. And all of a sudden, he waits there a few minutes, and all of a sudden, these two lights pull up. He can see two lights in the distance. And, of course, at 4 in the morning, there's not a whole lot going on. So he figures that's the tow truck. And his car pulls behind him. He can't really see what it is because the lights are shining in his eyes. And he's got these glasses that literally, when he did drink, as Don Drysdale once said to him, after a particularly tough evening, when he came to the ballpark one Saturday morning in Los Angeles, Don Drysdale looked at him, and Don obviously knew what Harry was all about because Don liked a few cocktails himself. And he said to Harry, "You look like a bullfrog looking through a keg of ice," because his eyes were all swollen underneath his gigantic glasses. So that was pretty much his condition this evening in St. Louis. The car pulls up behind him, and this one guy gets out of the car. There was two guys. It was not a tow truck. It was two guys. One guy gets out of the car, and he's got a gun. And he gets out of the car, and he walks toward Harry, and he's got the gun pointed at Harry. And Harry puts up his hands, and the guy doesn't say anything, and Harry says, "Don't get excited." He said, "I'll give you all the money I have on me. I'll give you my watch. I'll give you whatever you want. Just let's make sure that you get what you want, and then you leave, and everything is okay." And the guy just stops. The guy doesn't say anything. It just looks at Harry. And all of a sudden, the gun starts shaking. And Harry goes, "Oh, don't get excited. We can work this out. Just I'll give you whatever I have. And, you know, you can take my ring. You can take whatever you want to have." And the guy goes, "Well, you're Harry Carey." He says, "Yes, I am. But, don't worry. You know, we're going to work this out. Everything's going to be fine. Just don't want you to get excited. Don't want any accidents." And so the guy goes, "No, you don't understand. You're Harry Carey." He goes, "No, I understand." And Harry told me that he then took the gun and put it to the side a little bit. Didn't try to take it out of his hand, just took it to the side because the guy was so nervous he didn't want it to go off. And so he says, "Well, this is unbelievable. You're Harry Carey." He says, "Yeah." He goes, "No, you don't understand. I grew up listening to you. You're all I know about baseball. You taught me all the baseball I know. You're Harry Carey." He says, "Yes, yes, I am. But, you know," he says, "you need to just put the gun down, whatever." And he says, "Oh, don't worry about the gun, Harry." And the guy, you know, then puts the gun to his side or did whatever he was going to do. And he says, "What are you doing here?" to Harry. And Harry said, "Well, I was drinking in a hotel and I came out. My car didn't start." And so he says, "Your car didn't start?" He says, "No." He said, "It's either the battery, but I think I'm just out of gas. I think I ran out of gas." So the guy says, "Harry, there's a gas station like maybe a mile and a half up the road. Get in the car. I'll take you to the gas station. We'll get some gas. We'll come back." And Harry says, "No." He says, I called AAA. He said they should be coming in a bit." He says, "So you called somebody?" He says, "Yeah." He said, "They're coming in a bit." He goes, "Okay." And he says, "So someone's coming to get you." He says, "Yeah, they're coming to get me." He says, "Okay." He starts to walk away, and he turns around, and he looks back at Harry. He says, "Harry, you shouldn't be alone in this neighborhood at night. This is a very dangerous neighborhood." And the guy got in his car and just drove away. That was it. Leaving Harry there to wait for the guy from the tow truck and everything else. Those kind of things seem to happen to Harry all the time. He was an indestructible guy.
That is absolutely phenomenal.
Indestructible.
That is amazing.
He tells him it's a rough neighborhood and you shouldn't be there alone after trying to rob him at gunpoint.
That's outstanding. And anybody who has experienced downtown St. Louis at night, if you've covered any sports in St. Louis and the game is over and like, okay, your work is done, you've filed your last report, and then it's time to maybe go out and find some place to wind down. Yeah. I don't know if it's gotten any better, but there was a place, what the hell was it called? It was a Calico's or the Calico Lounge or something like that. And everybody looked at me like, okay, yeah, where can we go get a glass of wine and a burger? And they're like, yeah, nowhere. there's nothing down here. I'm like, well, it can't be nothing. It's a major city. These are professional sports teams. There's got to be something. Like, yeah, no. And I ended up in a place where I wasn't sure that I was going to make it out of there. But good pizza. I mean, it wasn't regular St. Louis pizza. It was actually decent.
That's fine. I was down there in 15. I don't know the last time you've been down covering a game in St. Louis is. I was down there in 15 covering the Cubs-Cardinals playoff series. And I, you know, my first time in St. Louis, well, sober anyway, my first time in St. Louis, and I'm kind of, you know, walking around before the game trying to take in the sights and stuff and thinking, oh, this is kind of nice. There's the fountain over here and there's some cool buildings over there, and it looks like that's a bar I could walk to here. And then sure enough, exactly like you say, the game ends and you leave the ballpark and it's, oh God, this has turned into a desolate wasteland where there is no hope. And the baseball just ended, and now I have to go find somewhere. I just went straight back to the hotel. I mean, there's nothing else to go to. There's nothing else to do. You just have to go back straight to the hotel. Otherwise, you risk running into a story like Harry Carey's. And I'm not getting out of the story the way Harry Carey got out of the story. That's not ending the same way for me.
The guy says, you're Connor McKnight. You taught me how to mispronounce raccoon.
Bam, bam.
I'm letting you go. I mean, right, exactly. Opens fire.
Hey, well, mentioned,
we mentioned food. Tomorrow at 11:20, we will not be opening the Magical Mystery Jar. Instead, we're going to do a special Friday Fung for tomorrow. It's going to be quarantine culinary creations. Out of necessity or out of boredom, what you are doing or have done so far to make the most out of what you have at home for yourself or for your family, how creative you've been. We'll be taking your phone calls tomorrow during Friday Fung. If you want to send in an email, already a couple emails have come in, so look forward to seeing those as well. That's Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. So looking forward to doing that.
Excellent. We want it to get weird, too. You know, I mean, the kind of stuff you've had to throw together to just get by, that's great. But also, like, the inventive tales of cooking. You know, it's whether it's a kid wanted a pizza, but you didn't have that kind of stuff, so you threw something together and just said, hey, this is pizza. You'll love this. That's kind of where we're headed here with the Friday Fung tomorrow.
Have you seen what Francisco Cervelli has been doing online with his cooking?
No, I didn't know Francisco Cervelli was a cook. I knew he treated Cubs pitchers like BP pitchers, but no, I hadn't seen what he was cooking.
Yeah, it's a thing now, and MLB.com put these videos up. I guess Francisco Cervelli has been doing shirtless cooking, and he has been, they're calling him the new Salt Bae because he does this little sort of grating of Parmesan cheese with a flourish over what's like a bolognese pasta.
He and grates some it of this with a grater, though, right? He doesn't do that, like, bare-chested on his chest, right? That'd be not
sanitary. No, but he's showing off his build as he is grating cheese over bolognese pasta. It looks to me like he knows what he's doing. It's pretty clear that this guy, that it's al dente pasta, not over sauced. So his Italian heritage is obviously shining through here.
Is Francisco Cervelli built? I always kind of thought he was a semi pudgy catcher. You know, just one of those kind of, not Sal Fasano or anything, but just kind of a somewhat pudgy type of guy.
He's not a Molina.
No, he doesn't look pudgy here. I mean, not a bit. I mean, I wouldn't say he's not jacked, but he's certainly in shape enough that on your list of catchers you don't mind doing shirtless cheese grating, he's probably okay. Now, he's Venezuelan, but he's Italian. Isn't he Italian-Venezuelan?
Yeah, I think so. I think he speaks Spanish as well, though, right? Well, I mean, that's a lot of guys do in that league, but I think he's Spanish, too. But we're not doing the list of shirtless catchers you wouldn't mind seeing in your kitchen until well into this stay-at-home order, right? That's not a list that's coming up later on the show, is it?
No, we're going to wait on that one. The texter wants to the 630 wants to know, is Connor in Dan's basement again? No, he's not. It's the... We've reserved the area for you in case. It's certainly yours as needed, but the issues were fixed.
Yeah, after about an hour and a half of haggling with my cable provider, who I suppose I don't need the name, but after haggling with them and getting things worked out and then the purchase of two brand new routers around the house, we are it's like a whole different world around here. Did you know you can watch videos on the internet, Dan? Previously at the house, that hadn't been something that Casa McKnight was equipped for, but apparently you get a new router and that's all good to go. It's nice. It's really cool.
Outstanding. We look forward to having a conversation with Ron Coomer coming up in just a little bit. We are going to do the Midday Midway at 10:40. I have another outstanding baseball list. We did one yesterday that we enjoyed, and this is going to be a little different way of looking at the best ever opening day performances by individual MLB players. Now, you think you know, because you think that your mind's like, oh, yeah, I can name this guy and this guy and this guy. But what the Washington Post's Neil Greenberg did was he did it by individual win probability added. Ooh. So it actually is, it's not just your overall performance, it's meaningful performance. It's how much did you actually contribute to your team in a victory on opening day? How much did you matter? And he's got the 10 best individual opening day performances ever. We're going to do that on the other side of Ron Coomer. But the Coom Dog is coming up straight ahead here on opening day. We can mark opening day and make it what we want and be as positive about it as we want to be. We can do that on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.